Before I get started going this morning, I know they say when you do things in public, you always leave out groups or people, and I forgot two this morning. Operation Desert Storm. Did I miss Desert Storms? I know I missed one Desert Storm. Anybody else? And I forgot our active. Is there anybody who's active in our military? Come on down here. Is there anybody that's active in our military this morning that I missed? I forgot them too. I want to tell you thank you. I'm sorry I've missed you this morning. But thank you for what you did. And on behalf of our church, thank you for serving. I appreciate you. As you can tell, our military in the USA is pretty important to me. Our country's in trouble. We got some things we got to fix, but we're still the best. Don't lose sight of that. But what Billy just prayed, I want you to hear before I jump into the sermon this morning. Our country is a reflection of us. Now you might say that don't represent me, what they do or what this group stands for or what it doesn't, but even if it doesn't represent us as Christians, we've allowed it to happen because we're not bold enough in our witness. I know there are some that it just doesn't work for you. I get it. I know that 6 o'clock in the morning is early. It is for me too. I don't get up at 6. But I want you to know Tuesday morning, we had a prayer time here. And I would tell you that I think the thing that will change our country more efficiently and faster than any other thing is prayer. And I see that there's a good number of you out there. If I said, stand with me, if you think the thing that can change our world today is prayer, stand up. There would everybody stand up, but there were 14 of us here Tuesday morning. If you always do what you always done, you're going to always get what you always got. If we want things to be different, we're going to have to be different. Do I think God would change our world? And notice I said would, I didn't say can. There's no question on whether he can. Do I think God would change our world and intervene because Medill, Oklahoma people gather and pray? The answer is yes. I think we're that important. I think we're a part of that faithful remnant. Now, if you weren't here Tuesday, that's not a hammer to you. That's a challenge to you. Be praying for our country. We won't gather this Tuesday at 6 a.m. We'll gather this Tuesday at 6 p.m. And if you're where you can, I'd love for you to join us because I think our country needs prayer, and I think prayer changes things. And that's what our country needs. Good? All right. Open your Bibles up this morning. Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to have to talk fast, and so you're going to have to listen fast. Matthew chapter 13. When I was a kid growing up in Altus, I probably told you a little bit or alluded to this a few times. When I was a kid growing up, my family had racehorses. I know that's a little unusual for a Baptist preacher, but my family had racehorses. And so all the time I was growing up, I remember, I don't know, maybe when I was 10 or 12 years old, my dad bought 10 acres of alfalfa land. And we always fed our horses alfalfa hay. It's just, I think, the best of anything you can feed them. Alfalfa is just different than others. But there's a lot of things that go into alfalfa hay. It doesn't just happen. And I remember Dad buying some land. And so we decided, or he decided, what we would do is we would farm our own hay so that we knew what our horses were eating and we knew that it was good quality stuff. He could take care of the baling and everything so that everything was right. And so Dad bought this 10 acres. And about that time, I was, 12 or 14 years old. And I was the guy that got to plow. And I remember when we first started out, we had this breaking plow, was what you call it. How many of you know what a breaking plow is? A few of you. We had a two-plow breaking plow. Now, here's what you need to know. What it does is it digs deep in the ground, and it turns the ground over constantly like this as you plow. But for us, our tractor wasn't very big, and so our plow couldn't be very big because it dug so deep in the ground to turn the land over. About probably 18 inches or so of the ground, it would turn over. And we only had two plows. There were two plows on it. And so if you can imagine, 10 acres is not a lot of land, but when you can just make two every round, it takes a long time to plow it. And my dad would have me start out in the morning, and I'd plow a square. And it was just about probably this wide every track I would make. It took forever. I remember Dad would show back up at lunch just about the time I would be finishing. I'd plow and plow and plow and think, oh, I'm getting close to being done, and Dad would show up. How many of you know what a disc plow is? I see Rick Stowers over laughing. You know what's coming, don't you, Rick? When you plow deep with a breaking plow, it makes clods the size of your head or that speaker. And so then we'd unhook the breaking plow and hook on to the disc plow. And Dad would want me to start in a square and disc it so that it chopped up. It had a whole bunch of discs about the size of a pizza, and it would chop up all of those big clods. And we'd plow it in a square like this. And about the time I'd get done, Dad would show back up. And then he'd want to plow it diagonal so that all those clods got busted up. When I read the parable of the soil, I know how important the soil is if you want something to grow and be healthy in it. I did a lot of preparing the soil for alfalfa. Then you got to water it, and you got to smooth it all out, and you got to make it where the water will run down through it. And there's a lot of things that go with it, but the preparing of the soil is so key. I want you to stick with me this morning, because it's interesting that this parable is entitled The Parable of the Sower. And we're going to talk about that briefly, and then we're going to talk about the parable of the soil, because we're going to talk about the soil just a little bit. But if you'll notice the title of the sermon this morning, I would entitle it The Parable of Prepositions. Now, that's probably a little different than what you've ever heard. So I want you to stick with me this morning and don't get caught up in all of the others. Certainly, the parable of the sower is a good name for this set of verses. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down while the whole crowd stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "Consider the sower who went out to sow. As he was sowing, some seed fell among the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on rocky ground where there wasn't much soil, and they sprang up quickly since the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun came up, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them. Still others fell on good ground and produced a crop, some 100, some 60, and some 30 times what was sown. Anyone who has ears should listen." When I think in terms of the parable of the sower, we planted wheat some when I was a kid, and we had a drill that we put it in the ground with that would run it into the little rows. But when we're thinking of the parable of the sower, it's not in the idea of tractors and plows. It was in the idea of bags and hands, the parable of the sower. And for us, we got to be constantly casting seed out there, and not all the seed is going to take root. But our job is to cast the seed far and wide that there's good news in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's important for us to always be casting it. And here's what I'll tell you. Sometimes it only gives 30% increase. And sometimes it gives 70% increase. And sometimes it gives 90% increase, or 60 and 100%. But the fact is, as we put out the good news of the gospel, it makes a difference in people's lives. And here's what I want you to know. It doesn't matter when you cast it. It doesn't matter for each one of us. If some of us get 30 and some of us get 60 and some of us get 100, all together, all of us have done very well and made a difference in the lives of people. Certainly, the parable of the sower is significant. But some people might say this is better if we called it the parable of the dirt. What are the kinds of soil? We know that it first talks about the soil that falls along the path, the pathway soil. It falls along that part there that's hard, where people have walked. It doesn't sink into the ground. And it says the birds come and eat it up. And then there's a rocky ground soil. It says that some of it falls among the ground that has as much rocks, or maybe more rocks than there is dirt. Now, I would tell you this. Have you ever seen a plant growing in rocky dirt? Don't lose sight of the fact that it's not optimum, but it works. It's not the best, but it works. Then it says some fell among the thorns. We know the idea of the thorns is that when it falls among the thorns are gathering nutrients out of the soil, and the thorns are gathering water out of the soil, and so it makes it harder for that seed to grow. But I want you to catch something. It does. It's not as effective as good ground, but it is effective. The last one is the good soil. Obviously, that's the best. For us, one of the things that Billy has said over and over and over is he's talked to me about three circles, and as we've done things with three circles, hey, part of the key is for us to understand that as we cast, there are some people that God is working in their heart already, and all they're waiting for is somebody to throw them some seed. God's already prepared their hearts. That's the good soil. But the kinds of soil are significant. When I think about the kinds of soil, the second one is in verse 4. It says this. It says, as he was sowing, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and ate them up. I want you to know that's a different kind of soil than the other three kinds of soil. If you read the rest of the story, it's over in verse 18 of chapter 13 of Matthew. It says, you then listen to the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the one sown along the path. Along the path is key to us, and it says that for the seed that's sown along the path, that they don't understand that the gospel is not difficult to understand if you think like a child. Now, if you want to think like an intellectual, if you want to think like a scientist, if you want to think like a mathematician, the gospel becomes difficult. But if you'll think like a child, the gospel is really simple to understand, and the gospel is really simple to explain if you think like a child. But when we think about this idea of it falling along the path where it's tough, you see, some of us don't have a tendency to think like an intellectual. We don't think like a scientist. We don't think like a mathematician. We just think like adults. And adults use reason. And adults use logic. And there certainly is a side of the gospel that's neither reasonable nor logical. It doesn't make sense. That's why it requires faith. The kicker to it is, if you don't understand quickly, it says for those that are along the rocky path, if they don't understand quickly, it says the devil doesn't give it time to sprout. It says the devil comes up and takes it away. Before you can be reconciled to God, God takes it away. I want you to listen to this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Christy, let me have your Bible. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. It says, so from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for he says, in the time of favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor, now is the day of salvation. Now the reason I read that to you out of Christie's Bible is I have notes from another sermon taped over that in my Bible. But I want you to hear the idea of reconciliation. Be reconciled, be reconciled, be reconciled. You have the message of reconciliation to give to others that they might be reconciled to God, because we are ambassadors of God. If we don't tell people quickly, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. Time allows for the ground to harden. We also know that the more ground is traveled, the harder it is. When I was in college, I worked for the city of Altus, and we prepared baseball parks every day. Sometimes a field was okay where you could play on it, and we would cancel the games because they were still just a little wet, but not too wet. You could have played on them. They'd have been fine today. But the problem is, have you ever played on a baseball field that somebody played on that was a little wet? It's about as hard as the street. Because as you run on it and it's wet, it just packs it and packs it and packs it. Some of us have traveled a gospel road so long, it's become hardened to where when the gospel comes to us, we miss it. And the problem is, it doesn't have to lay there long before Satan just comes and takes it away, that he snatches it away. When I think about this idea of the kinds of soil and the loan soil, the inhibitors of healthy soil, it talks about the different kinds of soil, the rocky soil that falls, and the seed that falls among the thorns, and then the seed that falls on the good ground in verses 20 and 22 and 23. And it says, this is the one who hears the word. In each one of those, it says, this is the one who hears the word. I want you to know, all of those hear the word, but not all return the same amount of harvest. The rocky ground in verse 5, it says, where there wasn't much soil, they sprang up quickly since the soil wasn't deep. In verse 21, when it gives us the answer to the parable, it says, when pressure or persecution comes, he immediately stumbles. It's not that the seed doesn't sprout up, it's just that it doesn't stay long, because when persecution comes, they stumble. I wonder for some of us this morning, here's what you need to know. The first soil gets snatched, the first seed gets snatched away on the hard soil by the devil. All the other three, it says that when they receive the word, I believe that means that those three are Christ followers. It's just that one of those Christ followers, when persecution comes, they're not deep enough that they become discouraged. And they become ineffective. And they stop growing. The second one, it says the thorns. It says, but the worries of this age and the seduction of wealth choke the word. If you read it in the scriptures over in the second part where the parable is explained, it says, but the worries of this age and the seduction of wealth choke the word. It's not that the seed that fell among the thorns, it's not that it's not heard. The scriptures say it is received and heard. But it gets choked out. And what does it get choked out by? It says the worries of this age. Some of us are Christ followers, but we're so choked out by the worries of this age and by the seduction of wealth. For those of you that are in your 20s, for those of you that are in your 30s, and for those of you that are in your 40s, you have to be careful that as you grow and as you work and as you try to build your kingdom and your castle for your family, that's not a bad thing. But if you're not careful, your pursuit of your castle will interfere with what God's trying to do in your life. It's not that in our 50s we don't work towards that, and in our 60s we're not working towards it, but in our 20s and 30s and 40s is when we're really working towards it. And if we're not careful, at such a critical time in our lives when we have influence over younger ones and over teenagers, if we're not careful, the example that we set to them is that the seduction and the pursuit of money strangles us out. But then it says, it becomes unfruitful. And then the third kind is the good ground. It says, and he hears the word and it does bear fruit. Remember the story in there where Jesus said, I'm the vine and you are the branches. If you abide in me, I will bear much fruit. That's really the key for us to stay in good soil. For us to be people who hear the word. Our salvation is settled. For those three groups, I believe your salvation is settled, but you do need to know this. If you're not careful, your soil will change. You've received the word and you've heard the word. But if we're not careful, we can let our soil become rocky, or we can let thorns grow up around it. And the first thing you know is either way, our spirituality and our maturity is choked out. We get controlled by other things. We get focused on other things other than just listening to the word and growing in our faith. The reason I would call it the parable of the prepositions is if you look in the King James Version, it uses some different words, some different grammar, and in each case, it's a preposition. In verse 4, it says that as he was sowing some seed fell along the path. In my Christian Standard Bible, in the King James Version, it says, by the way of the path. The rocky ground, in verse 5, it says, others fell on rocky ground where there wasn't much soil, and it sprang up quickly since the soil wasn't deep. In the King James Version, it says it fell upon. The preposition of upon. In verse 7, the King James Version uses the word among. Mine does as well. It says, others fell among the thorns. By the way of the path, up on the rocky ground, among the thorns. But I want you to catch this, and this is the key of the whole sermon this morning. In verse 8, it says, still others fell into good ground. The difference between by the way and upon verses into. The key for us is that the word would get into us. And if we're not careful, we keep everything at a distance. And we don't let God get too close, because when we let God get too close, we know He's going to expect some kind of change and some kind of action on our behalf. But the key is to let it get into. Not by, not upon, not among, but in. And I think the key to that is a constant, steady diet and a soft heart. Our hearts and our minds must be soft like the soil, because if it's hard, it stays on the surface, and soon the devil snatches it away. Now, I want you to know this. He cannot snatch away your salvation, but he can snatch away your joy. He can and he will snatch away your peace. He will snatch away your spiritual vitamins that will allow you to grow and allow you to mature. If you let your heart's soil get hard to the point that the seed is cast by the way, upon, or among, you have to keep your heart soft that the seed might go in, is the key for each one of us. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1 says, "The one who works his land will have plenty of food, but whoever chases fantasies lacks sense." Proverbs chapter 28, verse 19 says, "The one who works his land will have plenty of food, but whoever chases fantasies will have his fill of poverty." We know that's true. If you work, you can avoid poverty. If you work, you can avoid this fantasy that lacks sense. While that's true physically, I would tell you it's also true spiritually. We who have evil hearts must constantly be working to prepare the soil of our hearts and of our minds to keep them soft. You got to constantly be plowing. If you're not constantly breaking it up and you're not constantly going over it, it'll get hard. And when it gets hard, the devil just snatches it away. What's true of dirt fields is true of our hearts. The dirt must be worked in order for the seed to go in. But when the seed goes in, it always brings forth life. It's important that we are constantly reconciling people to God as ambassadors of Christ. But in order for us to be those people, it's important that we keep the soil of our hearts the way that it should be, that God can work in us to bring about 40, 60, and 100-fold. How about you? Most of you here this morning would say, "I'm a Christ follower, no question." But how's the soil of your heart? Are you still working on it, or have you just become complacent? You've let it get hard. Some of you this morning, your heart's always been hard. That's how we're born. And this morning is an opportunity for you to not let the devil snatch away the seed of the gospel this morning in your life. The scriptures say today is the day. Now is the time of salvation. Would this day you be willing to give your heart, your life to Jesus? If you would, our staff will be here at the front. We'd love the opportunity to explain it to you and pray with you. It's really a simple process, but it's a process that takes the mind of a child. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning, the opportunity to share the gospel. Lord, I pray that as you work on hearts this morning, they would be soft and that you would put the seed in. Lord, I pray you give us courage to be faithful. Lord, for those who have allowed our hearts to grow up thorns or to gather rocks, this morning I pray that we would confess it to you and that you would return our hearts to good soil. And for those this morning, dear Lord, that have a heart that has been hard like the path, I pray that today they would let you till it. They would let you prepare it before the devil snatches it away. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.